Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
And we are going to wrap up the Culture Wars series tonight. Next month, at least for the first 4 weeks, Mark Dunn will be sharing on worship, and he's going to do the Bible studies for the next 4 weeks on Wednesday nights. So that'll be good. That'll be a good series to be a part of. If you want to kind of get an idea, it's on the website already. You can go and visit there and see what's going on. Let's pray while we start here. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your favor, your blessing. Lord, the blood that was shed for us in Christ, the body of Christ, thank you, Lord, that we're saved. Thank you, Father, that we're alive today and that we're able to fellowship with you and be a light for you and grow in understanding and knowledge of your will and plan for our lives as we continue to know you better year after year. Lord, there is no greater joy than knowing you better every year and coming to get to know you better at all times. Lord, it's the greatest treasure of all, and we're grateful for it. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You lead us and guide us into all truth. I just thank you that tonight you're going to open the eyes of our understanding, that you're going to give us wisdom and give us understanding so that we can see and understand your truth better and be able to communicate it better and live and operate in truth from a redemptive mentality, one that is looking for mercy and the salvation of mankind. Because I know that's your will, Lord. You came to seek and save those who are lost. So we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your anointing and your presence. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to eventually get. So you can turn there. We're going to continue our series. One of our main scriptures here is 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, "But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. These are the days we are living in right now." In this series, we are touching on some of the hot-button issues. There was a statement by Rick Warren, and I think it was a few years ago, but he made this statement, and it's true. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. In our previous weeks, we looked at the deception that is taking place in the world as they turn from the truth of God. A creation that does not worship its creator will always become twisted and distorted individually and in community. It is a destructive cycle that led to the flood of all the earth at one time. Think about that. Now, I'm not, you know, obviously Christ will return and there'll be judgment in that time. The earth will never be flooded again. But we know that the elements will melt with fervent heat. Okay, so the idea of global warming is true to a degree. Get it? To a degree. I did not mean to do that. That just happened. it was prophetic, right? But anyway, so there is a principle there in a sense, but it's not what the world calls it. Now, we talked about evolution and, you know, like the idea of the planet and saving the planet. We are not going to save the planet. The best thing that we can do for the planet is to be salt and light and win people to the Lord, because the Lord will come back and make all old things new. He will. You know, hey, Rick, can you do me a favor and turn these lights on, the hanging ones for me? The actual saving of the planet has actually already been accomplished in the sense that Christ has already come and died and raised from the dead. So he'll just come back and redo everything. It'll be nice. It'll be really nice. There'll be no death at all. And that'll be great. So there is some truth there to a degree, but it's not the truth that... it's not from the standpoint of the worship of God, and that's the problem. Because you can even understand and have knowledge about things, but if the source of your knowledge is not found in light or from God, your knowledge will be distorted. It always will be. Because the entrance of God's word brings what? light. So if you don't have that entrance coming in, if there's not that pliability in your heart and in your mind for the word of the Lord and the Holy Spirit to operate in you, then you won't see things the way you're supposed to. The enemy is working in deception, and he's very good at it. How many have watched any of the things that have been going on in the news with the president? I'm not talking about the impeachment stuff. That's whatever. Anyway, about like the global climate meeting that they had and all that stuff. Did you see the young girl on there going crazy? You know, she, remember what we talked about with evolution and things like that? And the idea of we came together over millions of years and stuff like that. Remember that when it comes to creation worldview versus evolution worldview, evolution worldview does not have a right to morality. But if you listen to the young girl, and the young girl, I feel bad for her, man. Because, I mean, she's emotional for one, but she's obviously in fear, you know, about what's going to happen. And I was watching some of it, and, you know, I can be sarcastic about these things, and we have a whole movement on one side that is sarcastic toward the other side and vice versa. And sometimes I think that's okay. Sometimes I think it just doesn't do any good. But there are some people that just are not going to listen one way or the other. You know what I mean? But she got on there and I was watching this girl, and she's basically yelling and crying to these people that are in front of her. And she said, if you don't do anything about this, my generation will never forgive you. How does she know what forgiveness is? See, here's the thing. It is a religion. The whole idea is. You know, I was listening to another news thing, and they were talking about, I think it was NBC, but they had this thing where you could get on and confess your climate sins. Confess your climate sins. It's a literal thing. You can confess your climate sins. So this radio talk show host was making fun of it and having people call in, you know. And so people were like, I'm going to go out and buy another diesel even bigger than the one I have, and da-da-da-da-da, you know. And I understand why they're doing that. I get it. And it is amusing to me, you know. It's amusing in a sense. But on the other hand, you know, you wouldn't just let trash pile up in your house. Does that make sense? So you're saying, oh, you're going with the go green people. No, no, no. I'm going with God. God takes care of the things that are His. If you went to heaven, you wouldn't get into heaven and there'd be, you know, garbage piles everywhere. There'd be no, you know what I mean? If there was garbage, or if it could get unruly there, it wouldn't. God's not that way. He is in order. But what we need to understand from our perspective is that we need to approach these things from God's understanding of where we're at. In other words, God knows that this is all going to turn around eventually. We're not going to save the planet. He's going to come. He's the only savior anyway. He's going to come back and make everything new. We need to have wisdom from Him on how to manage what we have. And that means using effectively what He's given us and doing it as clean and as good as we can. But then on the other hand, realizing we live in a fallen world. And there's gonna be death, and there's gonna be garbage, and there's gonna be waste, and there's gonna be all of those things. So we have to be able to function within those two worlds in a balanced worldview. And that's part of our witness. Isn't that interesting? That's part of our witness. So it's just like in California. You can't have a plastic straw, but they'll give you heroin needles. Come on. Now I know Christians aren't running that. We can do better than that. You know what I mean? What's important? We need to see what's important and focus on that. Does that make sense? So we have to realize that without God, it's insanity. You have insanity, and there's fear and terror, and there's depression and anxiety, and what are we going to do? And, you know, my generation will never forgive you. The planet will be here when her generation comes, unless the Lord returns. The planet will be here and will be sustained until the Lord returns. And all this other stuff, you know, the planet was going to end and overheat 12 years ago. How many times? It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Now, is there science that shows climate change? You notice global warming is not a thing anymore. It's now climate change. Yeah, climate change has been around. It's called seasons. And even in some climates, it would do the climate good to raise a few degrees. I'm not joking. It would be okay. When you start looking into the things, it actually wouldn't hurt anything. It'd be okay. When the enemy grabs a hold of something and starts driving the direction of it, he begins to use it for slavery. Always, always, always. You know, and we need to be aware of that because a lot of it is money driven. Because the love of money is the root of a few evils. All of them. Now, it doesn't say money is. It's the love of it. So just be aware of that. There's motivations going on. If you're just watching the news and swallowing it, you need to dig deeper. You just need to dig deeper. I was talking to Kylie today and she was talking to one of her classmates and class, I hate Trump. Well, why? Well, he's a racist. How do you know? He just is. Okay. Deep argument. A lot of thought was put into that one. You know what I mean? So that's not discussion. That's not maturity. That's not logic. It certainly isn't. I mean, even many of the arguments, we'll get into some of them tonight, but even many of the arguments for the movements of things that are going on in America right now, they're not even science. They're not even good science. And so intellectuals, those who actually want to think and those who want to develop in their relationship with the Lord, they'll find that the laws that we have discovered that govern the earth that God created always line up with His Word. They always do. And that's why they keep finding more and more planets out there and everything, because He said, let there be light. But He never said, let it stop. They're never going to run out of discovery. How big do you think God is? You know? So, those are things we need to think. It's just, you don't even have to yell. You know what I mean? You don't even have to get all excitable. And when a person who has a belief begins to try and intimidate or physically coerce somebody else into following that belief, then you know they've stepped into the demonic. Including church people. Okay? So we just need to be aware of that. We need to be, and this is why we learn these things, and you should study outside of this and get information on your own and know these things. It's just very helpful so that you can explain and be a light where you're at. So let's go to verse 24 of Romans 1. I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but I'm going to kind of blitz through some of these here. Verse 24, Romans 1, verse 24, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The original couple, talking about Adam and Eve, marred the image of God in which they were created. By attempting to become gods through eating the forbidden fruit, their rebellious responses to the revelation of God caused that image to be tainted. Now that works in every area of our lives. Every area the Word addresses, which is every area of our lives, that works. If we reject God in that area, we begin to taint the view of what it is that God created in His will. If a person adopts a false image of God, then the falsification of God's image in that person inevitably results. Always. Every single time it will happen that way. And so that's why it's so important to have God's image. God gave them up or handed them over. This is the New Testament principle in judgment or wrath. This truth through Paul by the Holy Spirit is repeated through the New Testament many times. In other words, When there is a rejection of relationship with God, there will be no benefits from the relationship. God, in justice, will give individuals over to what they desire. It's the law of seed time and harvest. Okay? We like to talk about that, you know, people like to talk about that when it comes to like finances or, you know, different promises of God, but they don't realize that it works the same way in the flesh. So if you yield to the desires of the flesh will, if you seed to it, it'll produce a harvest. And the harvest is always death. Time and time again, and don't just think, oh, they died physically. It's mental death. It can be physical ailment, or think about it like this. An alcoholic can develop what? Cirrhosis of the liver. In other words, is the liver designed to turn hard? Is cirrhosis did God design the liver to become all hard? And no, what is happening? There's somebody who's yielding to the flesh in the area of alcohol, and it's having a harvest in the liver. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So it's that principle, and it's the idea of, and it goes back to this, whenever a person adopts a false image of God, then the falsification of God's image in that person inevitably results. So, the creation account teaches us that men and women were created to live in relationship with their Creator and with one another. Humankind's rejection of a relationship with their Creator results in the perversion of all other relationships. Okay? All other relationships. Now, don't just think pervert like you think, you know what I mean? Perverted means just to, it's off, it's twisted, it's out of order. Okay? It's like the word wicked. How many of you heard the word wicked before? It comes from the word wicker, which means like wicker furniture. It's twisted. Okay? So that's the thought, that's the idea. So whenever the creation or humankind's rejection of a relationship with their Creator results in the perversion of all their other relationships, every time, it will happen. You can say it's not going to happen. It will happen. Because there's only one way to see where you're going, and that's to walk in the light. And if you deny the only one light that's in the earth, then you're walking in the dark. And people mock and they scoff and they get angry and they pitch adult fits. You can't tell me what to do. You're right. Not even God will tell you what to do. But you will harvest death if you live in a lifestyle of sin. It will happen. It is a guarantee. It is a guarantee. They gave up God, and God gave them up also. God did to them what they had done to him. Remember where God was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? Out of Egypt. And it talks about God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Have you seen that? But you know before that it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart? You know God will make permanent what you choose? God will make permanent what you choose. That's the design of everything. So even when it comes to hell, I just heard this the other day from somebody. You know, how could a loving God send someone to hell? No, a loving God went to hell for you. How could you reject a loving God? That's the issue. God makes permanent. In other words, when it comes to judgment day, nobody is going to stand before God and go, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. Come on, he's the judge. And he doesn't even, it's not because he's the judge, he has all the power, he could just make the rules or the laws any way he wants. That's not the issue. He will do it truthfully and honestly. He'll just present the evidence. And if the evidence is for you in yieldedness and repentance in receiving Christ, you'll go to heaven. If it's not, the evidence will stack up against you. Because the standard to meet the entrance fee to heaven is the righteousness of God. Well, God didn't want to lose his creation, so he gave Jesus. Okay? So, God is looking to redeem all mankind, but mankind pretends like they don't know and pretends like that he's not there. Proverbs 3:34, we talked about this. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. Best to be humble, I guess, huh? He gives them over to uncleanness, which is sexual impurity, It means no fixed standard. In the means of lusts of their hearts to dishonor or abuse or degrade their bodies among themselves. No fixed standard. This is a powerful statement. Uncleanness in a person leads to a life of no fixed standard. God is the creator and he understands what the creation was designed for and what it was not designed for. People will say, and I said this last week, I'm just repeating a little bit, love is love. You cannot have love without a fixed standard. You cannot have love without a fixed standard. You can have your own rendition of love. You can make up and say, this is what love is. You can call it free love, but free love comes with free diseases. Okay. I know that it's just the truth, right? It is absolutely the truth. And you know what mankind does? They search for ways to be able to continue in sin and protect themselves from the harm of it. But guess what? You cannot. It's not possible. I don't care what medications they come up with. It doesn't matter. The manifestation of sin will bring about, the act of sin will bring about a manifestation of sin, and sin will always produce death. It always will. Now, you may be able to avoid some disease being passed on to you, but if you're in a relationship and you mess that relationship up, it causes an effect. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're gonna talk about these things tonight, just so you know. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. Who's the head? Christ. So love must have a fixed standard in order to be love. In other words, you cannot have love without truth. You cannot have love without truth. All right, let's go down to verse 26 here. Verse 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Now, what are we about to read? We're about to read what God calls vile passions. I didn't write this. Did you? Nope. You didn't write it. So do you have to back this up? No, God will. He back it up. All you have to do is stand with God. Okay? And if you learn how to not be afraid, and you learn and develop and study and know what you're talking about and have answer. I'm not saying you know everything, but you have a good solid answer from the Word and even scientific if you want to go that way. There are good things there as well. You can rebuttal people and they won't know what to say. They won't know what to do. And if you come at it, here, let me tell you how to just eliminate all fear. Love the person. Perfected love casts out all fear. See, I don't have to defend my point. I can present the evidence of truth and believe for the redemption of the person that I'm talking to. Does that make sense? And the Holy Spirit will move. Whether I feel like it or not, it doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter because truth goes out, it makes a difference. And people say, you know, because I'm going to deal with homosexuality, transgenderism, pornography, and abortion tonight, those four things. And people will say to me, well, you just don't know what it's like. I have people that I youth pastored that are in homosexual lifestyle right now. Right now. I have situations, I have gone round for round with my sister about homosexuality. And we go back and she does not agree with me. And we still get along great. Why? Because we can disagree agreeably. You know? But the arguments for, and you'll find this, especially when it comes to homosexuality and even transgenderism, there is something that happened in the steps of life from childhood, whatever it is. There are many situations. I worked with transgenders in Tulsa when I was at Bible college. And I graduated. That was in the early 2000s. I worked with them in the place that I worked, and many homosexuals. Tulsa, where I went to Bible college, Broken Arrow, they have a large homosexual community. And what did you do? I read my Bible. I was a witness, and I loved them. Did you agree with them? No. Did they respect me? Yes. Did they ever try and, you know, beat me up or anything? No, they never did. But my point is, is that we can come together and have conversation, and we can have debate about these things. But we will never be able to, God won't even force somebody to go to heaven. Does that make sense? He won't even do it. He gives us free will. We get choice. Is it sad that they don't? Oh, absolutely. But still, they have free choice. And so we can be strong and be redemptive in what we believe. So he gave them up to vile passions. For even their women, exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. They received in themselves what? Where did that come from? God turned them over to what they desired. See, I'm not turned over to my desires. I'm turned over to the resurrection. So what does that give God the right to do? Hang on to me, not turn me over. Make sense? So what do I get? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I get, and all the benefits thereof. But if I backed out of that and turned myself over to a homosexual lifestyle, I would reap out of that lifestyle. I cannot live in the lifestyle and pray, God, protect me. Come on. Okay? So I would be turned over. I would be let go. Why? Because in the lifestyle that I choose, in other words, I'm living this. I have rejected the way of Christ, the path, the disciplines of the gospel for my life. And now I am living in this lifestyle doing this. When I do that, I've made a decision to do what? Reject Him. And if I reject God, what's left? Satan and his world, right? Now, will God continue to pursue me? Oh, absolutely. He'll continue. I mean, he did it when I was rebelling against him before. He'd find people that would pray for me, rebuke me. My grandpa, boy, that guy rebuked me. I'll tell you what. I just stayed away. He was older than me, much older, but I still feared him. Why? Because God was looking to redeem me. Does that make sense? But even in the midst of when I was rebelling, what was going on? I was reaping a harvest and I hated it. And even in the midst of it, I'm going, why? Why is this going on? And it's like, God's like, hello, stupid. You know what I mean? You are out in the devil's playground. This is his rules. If you don't like it, leave. Leave. So I left, you know, thank the Lord. So, lest there be any confusion about this verse, I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Where does the suffering happen? Within themselves. Does that make sense? Okay. What God declared good, namely that man and woman would live together in relationship as one flesh, we find this in Genesis 2:18 through 25, is exchanged for relationships in which men engage in sexual relations with other men and women with other women. Therefore, these deeds are unnatural, that is, they contravene or violate the created order. The phrase in verse 27, committed indecent acts, shows that what is condemned is the homosexual or lesbian act, not the temptation itself. You know, temptation is not a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. If it is, Jesus sinned. Because he was tempted in all points as we are, right? Yet without sin. So temptation is not a sin. It's the actual act that is a sin. The context also makes clear that the reason that homosexuality is raised here is not because it is more perverse than other types of sexual sin. Rather, Paul uses it to show how sin perverts the created order of male and female. What is the created order of male and female? Be fruitful and... Have you ever noticed that the system for multiplication only works between a man and a woman? It is natural. Anything outside of that is against nature. Okay? And that's what we talked about earlier, natural, what they call in theologians call natural revelation. There's an order to things. There's a system to things. And if you are of the mind that likes to study those things, or even in mathematics and different things like that, there's an order, there's a system. And in all of it, God is going, hi, 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 hi. I'm here. Here I am. And people will willfully reject that because they want to give in to what? Lusts, fleshly desires. Your flesh is so stupid. My flesh is so stupid that if we do not control it, it will do the craziest, nuttiest stuff it can think of and come up with. Absolute truth. Okay? You don't want to test the limits of it. You're supposed to do what with your body? Crucify it. Make it a slave. Your body is good for nothing more than doing whatever the righteousness of Christ within you wants to do with it. That's it. And people say, well, all the fun's gone. No, no, no. No, 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 no. All the sin's gone. The idea that sin is fun, well, maybe for a season, but it will have a harvest. You know, year after year in my relationship with my wife, I never wonder if I'm going to get a sexually transmitted disease. Never. I never wonder. I'm never like, I'm living on the edge. No, never. Never. I never. I'm not. Why? One partner. That's it. One. All right. Sin perverts the created order of all things. For women to change the natural use shows that lesbianism is a choice, not a result of natural birth. It also shows lesbianism is unnatural or against nature. Now think about this. They've done scientific studies on this. They'll take twins that were in an alcoholic home, and one will become an alcoholic, but one will not. Exact same environment, exact same DNA, and different choices. Okay? Now, people will, they'll try and say, oh yeah, this is the way it is. Science has proven it. Science has proven nothing in that way. They've proven that actually the opposite. Okay? So, just like the woman, for men to leave the natural use of a woman shows a choice, not a result of natural birth. Lust is consistently used for homosexuality and lesbianism. Lust is not a sickness, but a sin. It's not a sickness, it's a sin. Homosexuality and lesbianism are sin. Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities were all destroyed because of homosexuality and lesbianism. Today, that area is the Dead Sea. So LGBTQ, what does it stand for? It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, or questioning. And I think there's actually more now, but I did not look up all those because if you Google it, you know, like, what does this mean? You're going to get pages and pages, and I just didn't have time to look at it all. So this kind of gave me a general idea. Homosexuality or bisexual. Leviticus 18:22. Here's some scripture. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That is not changed under the new covenant. That's under the law, but God hasn't changed that. It's still an abomination, okay? Verse 23. Now, okay. You see it? I remember teaching this in youth. I'll tell you what, you get some reactions. Nor shall you mate with an animal to defile yourself. Why put that in there? Guys, it's happening today. We're so far advanced. But let me ask you a question. If you think you came from one, see, when you stop worshiping God, the rest of it Do you see that? It ends in insanity. It absolutely, they're working on passing laws so people can marry their animals. Yep. They're working on legalizing pedophilia. They've been doing it for years. See, this is the stuff that I love to argue with about people that want to discuss like homosexuality and stuff, because they say, oh, well, I mean, homosexuality is one thing, but, you know, that's a kid. So you don't have a morality or a base for your morality. So how do you know where to stop? This is how I ended an argument with a person that I was discussing about the homosexuality issue. I said, okay, what if your neighbor decides they love your child? And they looked at me, I mean, just in shock and terror. Oh, that's not right. I said, how do you know it's not right? Because there's only one place that it tells you that it's not right. The book. So you're going to, as a free, open-minded thinker, a highly intelligent one who knows that evolution is real and true and there's no God, you're going to try and take from my God to set a standard for your life? See, by the very admission of that, they're declaring, I know God's real. They are. I'm not going to read on in this. You get the point. Leviticus 18:22. You got it right? Okay. Some of it, I don't even like to read it. I'm like, okay, get the point. Moving on. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, this is a lifestyle for them. This is not talking about people who have made a mistake here or there, okay? And are working out of those things. This is talking about somebody who has rejected God and wants to live this lifestyle. He said, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves. Notice what's in here. Not just sexual sins, thieves, greedy people. What's the next one? Drunkards or are abusive or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you, watch this. I love this. Were once like that. What were they once like? They were once a homosexual, and now they're not. There's redemption for homosexuals. There's redemptions for transgenders. We're going to see revival in those areas. It's already happening, guys. You can go, they are doing, you know, the gay pride parade has gone on at times and different things like that. There's a group now that's having parades that were in homosexuality and now they're free in Christ. I mean, there's so much good, believing people that have been saved and redeemed out of these lifestyles that are now opening up and stepping forward in ministries and, declaring truth, and people are being set free and delivered. It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. So God, what do we know right here? We know this. When it comes to, if a homosexual or transgender comes, I'm telling you, I've heard testimony of transgenders too. And they are, you watch their videos, I mean, you'll be weeping. Because it's like, my God, you are powerful. You are merciful, you know? It's just amazing because, you know, in our natural mind, we look at things, but God looks down and goes, I pay Jesus. I can take you. I can fix this. And, but there are testimonies and there are things. I mean, in other words, the depth of the resurrection reaches deeper than the depth of what the devil has. The scoop can go way down in. You know what I mean? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. 1 Timothy 1:8. We know that the law is good when used correctly, for the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching. Jude 7, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 7, and don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah. This is in the New Testament. And their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion, those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. In other words, God said, hey, don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. What about the science? You are not born a homosexual. It is a choice. The concept of sexual orientation is multifaceted, involving a combination of attractions, behaviors, and personal identity. Changes in any of these elements, sometimes called sexual fluidity, and a lack of stability or exclusivity in or among them, represents evidence that sexual orientation can change. This is a paper that I read, but it says this. This paper reports results from four large data sets reflecting longitudinal analysis of the same individuals over time in population-based samples, three from the United States and one from New Zealand. All demonstrate that significant change in each of the elements of sexual orientation is possible. The percentage changing from homosexuality to heterosexuality ranged from 13 to 53%. So in other words, they were homosexual and then they went back to being heterosexual. Up to 53% of the people, okay? So if you're born with it, see, it doesn't make sense. The science doesn't add up. While the percentage changing from heterosexuality to homosexuality ranged only from 1 to 12%. You know, if you watch the news and TV, you would think that the whole world is gay. You would. And that everybody can't decide if they're a boy or a girl. My kids have had no problem. None. Why? Because we don't joke like that. You know what I mean? We don't play like that. God made male and female. And that's it. Okay? There's no extras. All right? So anyway, this suggests that, and don't just, you know, I'm gonna go back to this because this just came back to me. I was thinking about this. I was watching football the other day and some show came on for a new sitcom. And I do not watch sitcoms, okay? No, I'm not going to do that. I like my brain intact. So, but anyway, I was watching this sitcom, and it was a lady, you know, and we were reading in Leviticus about animals and humans, right? And this lady is a mother, and she has kids in the house, but they have some animals in the backyard. And she said, she made this statement, now you kids be good in here. Mommy's going to go outside and have adult time with the goats. Now, she wasn't making the statement. She said, you kids stay here. I got to go take care of some stuff. You know what I mean? But in the sitcom, in the commercial, this is all in the commercial, the actress stops and goes, oh, that doesn't sound right. See, they're joking about it. They're joking about it. And what do people do that watch this? Oh, that's so funny. And what does that open up? The thought to come, man, you better rebuke that thing. Don't accept that stuff. So our world, it's nothing new. Well, did you ever think that you would see some of the stuff you do today, say, 20 years ago? It's a push. So even statistically speaking, there's always transition scientifically between the two. What about transgender or gender confusion? Now, this is a psychological issue. But do you know now they're pushing that psychology, that they won't treat it as a disease? That's the push. It's abusive if you tell them that they're not thinking right. They're not delusional. Genesis 1:27 says, so God made them in his own image. In the image of God, he created him what? Male and female. Genesis 5:2, same thing. Genesis 6:19. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. What if he would only brought male? They'd have been all dead, right? Why? Because the natural order is what? Male and female. What about Matthew 19:4? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and father, his mother and mother, his moms. If the progressive movement and the secular movement, the atheist movement, gets to write this, this scripture says, and they, because you can't say he or she, shall leave their moms. Come on. We're there. We're there now. It's not like I'm prophesying about the future. It's happening right now. Right now. It says that the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his what? Oh, and the two shall become. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. I used to read that and just think divorce. Now I read it and think homosexuality as well. In other words, what God has joined together in male and female, don't let it become female and female. Don't separate it. Keep it together. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Mark 10:6 talks about the same thing. LGBTQ health requires specific attention from the healthcare and public health professionals to address a number of disparities, including, and so this is actually off the government website, LGBTQ youth are 2 to 3 times more likely to attempt suicide than a heterosexual. But let's go ahead and promote the lifestyle anyway, because, you know, we're trying to prevent suicide rates among teens, but the logic is let the elevator go all the way up. Don't even read the Bible, just read your own scientific data. Well, we're trying to reduce suicides. Well, keep pushing your agenda then. And mentally abusing the youth of a nation and destroying them. LGBTQ youth are more likely to be homeless. Lesbians are less likely to get preventative services for cancer. In other words, they're not taking care of themselves. Now, this is naturally talking. Gay men are a higher risk of HIV and other STDs, especially among communities of color. I didn't know that. That's just government, you know. Lesbians and bisexual females are more likely to be overweight or obese. Transgender individuals have a high prevalence of HIV and STDs, victimization, mental health issues, suicide. They're less likely to have health insurance. I mean, that's just a practical living thing. You know what I mean? But they're less likely to be that way. LGBTQ populations have the highest rates of tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use. The highest rates. All right, so some websites for you if you'd like. Walt Heyer, WALTHEYER.com. He was a transgender, was for years. How he got started, And he's actually in this book right here. This is a good one on homosexuality. If you know somebody who's homosexual or has a family member, whatever, this is a great book right here. It's called God and Sexuality, and it's by Janet Boynes, I think is how you pronounce it. B-O-Y-N-E-S. This is a great resource. If you know somebody who has a kid who thinks they're gay, great resource. If you're dealing with this in family, whatever, this is a great resource. She was a lesbian for 7 years, and she got saved, and she has a ministry. She's got a great ministry. You can look, Google her. She's got testimonies on her website of multiple homosexuals that have had their lives totally turned around by the life of Christ and the Spirit of God. So that's a good one. WalterHire.com or WaltHire.com. That guy was a transgender. He actually had reassignment surgery and everything. And it all started when he was 4. Now, how many times have I said we put God before family? Do you know how his started? His grandmother would take him and dress him in a purple dress when she would have him over. This was in the 70s, guys. And she would sit and tell him how pretty he was. And she would have him spin around in the dress. And that made an impression in his mind at 4. Now, once his parents found out she was doing it, he wasn't allowed to be alone with her anymore. He was also abused by an uncle. God before family every time. Every time. Every time. I've had people get so upset with me over that, but I'm willing to go to the ends of the earth on it. I'm not backing down, especially when it comes to my family. Because see, I'm responsible. I'm responsible to the Lord. You know what I mean? For my family. Okay. Engendered. This is another book. It's called Engendered by Patsy Caminiti. Another good book. RegenerationMinistries.org and OutpostMinistries.org are both good as well. I could go more into this. The subject of pornography is also touched in here. And I don't have the time to go into all the details, but I will say this. Due to the fact that we now have such understanding about the mind's ability to change the brains, now scientifically and medically, we have this information. We're learning more and more about how to change. Basically, the Bible was right all along. I'll just put it to you like that. Okay? Your mind can be conformed, but it can be transformed. So they talk about pornography and things like that. There's a couple of websites. Let me give you these websites so you can go look about them. This is not a faith-based one, but it's a good one. It's called truthaboutporn.org. Truthaboutporn.org. And it's a really good one. And what they do is, it's not faith-based, but it's just scientific. They're anti-porn on all levels. And they show from science what it does. And they have all these doctors and psychologists, and they're all way beyond me in their degrees, you know what I mean, of understanding. But basically, pornography creates paths in your brain. Because it sends off a drug, or a certain drug in your brain, and the drug is called... let me see if I can find it here. They call it a neuronal pathway that it establishes. And I thought I had the drug right here. It's called Delta Fos B. And what it does is, it creates a path in the brain based on the interaction that's taking place with the image that the person is seeing. This is male or female, doesn't matter. Male or female. And it creates a path. Well, Delta Fos B is designed, your brain releases it when you, if you're really into mathematics or if you're really into whatever, and it creates paths in your brain. And you're, there's electrical impulses and things that connect your brain together. I don't understand all this, but I have a general idea, okay? So don't go to your brain surgeon and say, well, my pastor said, you know, because that's not going to do you any good. So, but anyway, the signals get stronger or weaker depending on what you're putting into your brain and where you're feeding and what you're feeding it from. So, like pornography, the idea of pornography, I used to be addicted to pornography bad because I was introduced to it when I was 12 years old. Guess where I was introduced to it at? A friend's house. I should have never been there. Okay? Never. But, you know, this is where parenting comes in. Hello. All right. So anyway, I was introduced to it there. So what had to happen? Well, I already have these paths in my brain, but the beautiful thing about what they're understanding about the brain now is, now I didn't know this back then, but you can retrain, rewire your brain. And it doesn't matter how old you are. So the whole statement, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, it's a lie. It's a lie. You can teach, you can retrain your brain to think the right way. It's called transformation. Now I just went by what the word said and believed God and did it. And over time, those tracks die to nothing. How many of you have ever been up in the mountains on a trail and then it gets grown over? And it's almost like you can't even see where it was before. And you have to create a new trail. So that's what God does in transformation of the mind. So here's some options with this. Truthaboutporn.org. Here's a really good one. This one's free. It's by John Bevere Ministries, or Messenger International is his ministry. And he, on his website, which is, if you go to messengercourses.com/pornfree, he has a whole system set up for that's free that you can take and learn and develop. John Bevere was severely addicted to pornography as well and was delivered as well. There are many testimonies of that. There's another one called conquerseries.com. Conquerseries.com. That's a whole DVD series thing. It's very good as well. So those are good. There's a website, and this is not a Christian one, but it's a good one. It's called fightthenewdrug.org. Fightthenewdrug.org. I'm going to give you one more website here, and this is kind of an overview one. I was going to talk about abortion, but I just don't have time. But I think a lot of people have more on abortion than anything else today. It's been fought for so long. But FRC.org, Family Research Council, FRC.org. They have information. They have tons of information on all of these subjects, all of them. And they're phenomenal. They're really good. And I'm going to end. This is another, I already told you about this book, but I'm going to end by reading this, just to help you a little bit more along this line. Did you get anything out of this? I know it's a little more practical. I know it's spiritual as well, but it's a little more practical. But we need to understand these things because we need to be able to help people. And we need to be able to, and people in the church need set free. I mean, I'm not that ignorant. I've been at it for 20 years. People can seem to be in the best place, and then you find out there's stuff going on. And it doesn't shock me anymore. I think sometimes people think I should have a bigger reaction, but I've found that big reactions don't help the situation. So, you know, if you ever walked, you know, you go into your doctor and they're like real calm, and just, you know, they're trained to do that. As a minister, you have to do that as well. So, all right, I want to read this to you. The madness of this thinking, it's all about feelings, was recently demonstrated to me again in a TV interview. I saw what was conducted with another self-styled progressive thinker who was the parent of a little boy. The interviewer asked the parent, who is well known for her progressive outlook on sexuality. As a progressive parent who wants to help her little boy find whether he's more boy or more girl as he gets older, how do you greet him each morning? This is what the interview asked the lady. The parent answered, "Every morning the first thing I do is go into my son's bedroom, sit on the side of his bed to greet him, and I ask, Tell me, sweetheart, what do you feel like? What do you feel like today? Do you feel more like a little boy or a little girl today? Now, this is normal for this progressive thinker. However, my little boy answers me, determines, why is she even calling him her little boy? I mean, to me, it's like, hey, if you're going to make it go, make it go. You know, I mean, commit, would you? Sorry, I got to be more redemptive. However, my little boy answers me, determines how I treat him that day, the woman continued. If he wakes up feeling more like a girl, then on that day I'll treat him like a girl. If he wakes up on a particular morning feeling more like a boy, then on that day I'll treat him like a boy. It can change each day depending on how he feels when he wakes up. I don't let my kids decide how they feel when they wake up. The parent told the interviewer, the last thing I want to do is put pressure on my little boy to think and act like he's a boy simply because he was anatomically born a boy. As a good parent, no, you're not a good parent. I want to give him the option to think and act like a girl if that's what he feels. As a responsible parent, boy, they use the words, don't they? I consider it my job to help him feel his way into his gender. It has nothing to do with anatomy. It's all about feelings. And then I wrote after that, says the evolutionist. It's hypocrisy. All about feelings, friend? This way of thinking is delusionary. How destructive it is to start children out in life with the message, we can't figure out who you are, and we're not sure who you will be when you get older. And they wonder why the suicide rate's high. They don't even know who they are. All right, concerning transgenderism, let's read this part and then we'll be done. A one-sided, one-armed lie. This will help you, okay? This will help you with argument about this issue. Let me give you a hypothetical example of a delusional person who refuses to acknowledge reality when confronted with facts, but instead seeks to support his delusional perception. Imagine a man with two normal arms who has the delusion that he only has one arm. Although he has two fully formed arms, this man denies that fact. Instead, he actually goes to a surgeon and says, "Doctor, I realize you're going to tell me that I have two arms, and medically I know this is true. But in spite of the provable facts, I feel more like a one-armed person. I would like you to schedule a surgery to cut off one of my arms so that my body will finally match what I feel is true about me." Any doctor who agreed to schedule an amputation in this type of situation would be considered unfit for medical practice and would likely be sentenced to prison. Yet, as absurd as this scenario sounds, it is precisely what happens when a man says, "I know I was born a man, but I feel like I am a woman trapped in a male body." And vice versa, when a woman says she feels like she is a man trapped in the body of a female. This type of delusional thinking is on the increase. It is simply a fact that growing numbers of males are claiming to feel like they are actually females that are trapped in male bodies, and growing numbers of females are claiming to feel like they are actually males that are trapped in female bodies. If you don't know anyone in this category, it's likely you will at some point, because this deceptive craze is growing exponentially and is especially on the rise among younger people who are the main targets of gender confusion. Until recently, such confusion was regarded in the medical field and throughout society as a mental disorder that should be treated under the care of a psychiatrist or counselor. But today, this is being packaged as a birth defect that some medical professionals suggest can be fixed with a surgical procedure. As nonsensical as the argument is on its merits, this is precisely what some in the medical world are suggesting with increasing regularity. Of course, this is not the way those medical professionals would describe it, but in essence, this is what they are doing by performing these surgical procedures to address mental health issues. The current trend seems to say, just go with your feelings, there's nothing wrong with you, that a surgical procedure can't cure. This confusion has hit such a high that now people are claiming to be neither male nor female. The new rage is to be bigender, trigender, polygender, pangender, and even gender fluid. People who put themselves in this last category claim their gender is so fluid that they can switch back and forth, male to female, female to male, from moment to moment, depending on what is felt in a given situation. In other words, in one moment, a person can claim to be male, but in the next moment, claim to be female. Yet gender fluidity is just another delusional tenet in the devolving amoral system of a world gone mad. It is okay for us to recognize that this is all last day's nonsense. So when it comes to the issue of transgender, I have two healthy arms, but I feel more like a one-armed person. Cut a good arm off. Now, how logical is that? That's just slap crazy. So why is it different with organs, sexual organs? Why is it different? It's an issue with the mind. It's an issue with delusion. It's an issue with that needs to be addressed from the church and from a Christian medical field. Amen? All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.